We must continue to root him out and do whatever it takes to save the soul of our village. Let us put the accused to the test.
Granny!
Hush.
It's a witch trial.
Old Mother Twister.
Must be early 17th century.
You stand accused of witchcraft and shall be tried by my ducking stool, hewn from the mightiest tree on Pendle Hill. If you drown, you are innocent. If you survive, you are a witch and shall be hanged.
This is way too dark for me.
We've got to do something, Doctor.
The doc said don't interfere. You said don't interfere, right?
Don't cry, Willa. I will still be with you.
I will still be with you. In the water.
In the fire.
In the air.
In the earth.
Duck the witch! This trial. 35 witches we have tried, and still Satan surrounds us. We shall not be stopped.
Doctor, we're here.
You will be punished for your interference. The trials are sacred. They are the will of God.
Is she alive? I'm sorry.
Now we have no way of knowing if Mother Twiston was a witch or not. Guards, whip these wanderers off this bank and then seize Willa Twiston. We can take no chances.
Leave her alone. I bet my life neither of these women are witches. But you, Mistress Savage, are without question a murderer.
Who are you to address me this way?
I'll tell you who I am. Sorry, one sec.
Witchfinder General.
That's right. Witchfinder General. With my crack team taking over this village. Right, gang?
Yeah, because you are in special measures.
Now do you recognize our authority?
Hey everyone, this is the TARDIS Blend right here at geeksofdoom.com reviewing the latest episode of Doctor Who, and I am Greg Davies, and I'm here with...
The Witcher.
The Witchfinder Tom. Yes, Witchfinders is the latest episode of Doctor Who this week, directed by Sally Abrahamian, I believe I'm pronouncing that correctly, and written by Joy Wilkinson. I'm going to jump right out of the park, mate, and just say Alan Cumming, easily the highlight of this episode, and an episode worthy of a 5 out of 5.
Oh my gosh. Honestly, I was even thinking, if they had had an extra 15 minutes, that entire episode could have gone in it still would have been 5 out of 5. I'm pretty confident, but it would have gone in a completely different direction entirely because of his amazing performance.
Oh, yeah, it was incredible.
Just like and grade A, FDA approved, 100% corny, hamming it up, and I loved it. It was amazing.
And the funny thing is that what Alan Cumming was actually doing there, even though it did look like he was hamming it up, was he was performing just like many of the actors from classic Doctor Who historicals. Set yeah. around that era, and he was
up on that.
He was absolutely delightful at it. Just even like harnessing that accent and the way he spoke and his cadence, and he was just fabulous. He was a fantastic feature in this show, and he easily stole it by far.
Yeah. So this is the second 10 out of 10 that we've gotten this season.
Yes, that's right. The first one was the second episode, The Ghost Monument.
And I feel like we have to stack them up. I feel like this one was better than that, but for different reasons.
Mm.
I just felt like this was Doctor Who at its finest. I felt like this is by far my favorite episode featuring Jodie. And, you know, there was a little bit of history. We got some nice characterization from the Doctor being repeated. It seems like this is definitely a regular thing where she states her conventional wisdom and then literally disregards it in the same moment.
Which is what the Doctor always does.
Yeah, but she does it in a way that you it's not like they work it into the story and like, she's just like, okay, screw it. I'm going to do it.
Yeah, yeah.
Whereas normally they'd be like, well, I didn't want to do it this way, but I guess you're forcing my, you know, or like it would just end up where it would evolve so that somebody, their companion or whoever's with them is the reason they defy their own logic.
Right.
Whereas we're watching the Doctor do it and kind of gleefully so. And it's very entertaining.
Yeah, this felt a lot like a classic Doctor Who episode to me. I really enjoyed it from the beginning to the end. And let me ask you this, that whole thing with testing the Doctor as a witch, did you see that coming?
I was the reason to do this episode. Because they really have, except for, you know, like a passing comment here and there, they really have not really addressed the gender swap. You know, they've acknowledged it, certainly. Right. I mean, you couldn't not. But this is the first time that we've actually seen it, I guess, put it as, I don't want to call it a spectacle, because I think it was very tastefully done and it made sense, and I never at any point felt like I was being preached to.
You know, the other thing I wanted to mention, Tom, as you may remember me talking about on the last episode, I also do the podcast Heavy Metal Historian, and I did an episode on witches and metal, and it was basically looking at the influence of witchcraft in the terms of folklore and horror, and also Wicca being spirituality or religion, take your pick, and it their influences on heavy metal music. And as the first part of the podcast, I went through a detailed history of the persecution of the witches through the centuries. And I have to say, the witch hunting aspect was somewhat accurate in this episode. That there was a couple of inconsistencies there, but nothing to scream about. It was fairly accurate. And in fact, even
the part about King James crusading about the countryside looking for witches.
I'm not so sure he was crusading per se. But he was the author of that book that the Doctor opened up in Becca's room, which is called Demonology. And in fact,
he authored what we know as the current text of the Bible, as well as a book on demons.
Oh yeah, and how to be a witch hunter and all of that kind of stuff.
Like, I love Doctor Who because it's something I really would not have picked up on, and I am so interested in that entire time period now.
Oh yeah, yeah, it's a very interesting period, and even the young girl Willa Twiston, played by Tilly Steele, who I thought incidentally did a great job. You know, all the stories about the potions and the herbal medicines and, you know, things like that. That was very much a big part of villages back then, and frequently. Many of those women who specialized in that skill were often accused of being witches. So it's fairly accurate. And also the other thing about King James, Shakespeare's depiction of witches in Macbeth, that was based on King James's demonology.
Ah.
Yeah, so the witches in that story were based upon the descriptions of King James, which largely cemented the folklore idea that we have in the current era, if you will.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What did you think about the villains themselves?
I thought they were great.
What is happening? by Satan.
Not by Satan.
And by what?
Something not of this earth.
Morax.
Who are you?
Hand me your king.
What? Haven't you got your own king? Or is he hiding?
He does not hide. He waits. We have all waited for too long. Trapped in the hill.
Pendle Hill?
Our prison. The mighty Morax army. Captured and imprisoned on this pitiful planet for war crimes.
Pendle Hill is a prison for an alien army.
Oh, well, it's obvious when you put it like that.
Imprisoned no more. The lock was broken.
What lock? How was it broken?
Now the Morax army shall rise again and take form. Your king shall be filled with our king, and we shall be free to fill all of you, to fill this whole planet with rage and force and hate and Morax.
I knew something was up with Becca all the way through. It was another one of those, you know, she was pretending not to be the enemy, but she was the whole time. And, you know, the aliens actually reminded me very much of the alien we saw in the first episode, like a warrior race, if you will. And, yeah, I loved it. You?
I felt like they were an instant classic, and that if this were convention season, I would expect to find intermingled with the various gender swapped and gender accurate Doctor Who's and Weeping Angels, also these super creepy witches.
Yeah.
I really appreciated how they. If you're going to do a big bad, if you're going to do a big monster, having them always be the villain, which they quickly did away with after about the third episode, you kind of show the ugliness of humanity as the true evil behind it, which is you've got these horrid creatures and this alien race that has been locked into a prison that is taken the form of an old tree. And I love that... Arthur C. Clarke quote that they had at the end, because the entire time I was thinking, you know, I really like that that Chibnall seems to have like a very good understanding and a good grasp on sometimes you need to do a supernatural episode that's actually about technology, which we've seen often, but not always done. Not always done in a way that's intelligent, especially after last episode, where you know that all that setup, all that building, and then no commentary whatsoever about the technology itself and its implications. Where they kind of turned it on its head this time, it was a really nice change of pace.
I can't recall that Arthur C. Clarke quote. I'm just looking through the wiki pages here. I can't see it. Do you recall it?
That would be the one at the very end, not the Tarantino quote, but a sufficiently advanced technology is indistinguishable from magic.
Yes, that's right. Yes,
which is quite frankly what we were looking at. The other thing is, I think we've got my favorite quote of the season is when they are talking about. Do you know why they dunk, you know, witches? It's because they open their mouth too much. And the doctor, you know, matter of fact, he says, oh, yeah, I know that.
I loved Graham at the end. He really came into form on this episode. I thought he was really doing the greatest job in that role. Bradley Walsh, what a guy. He's doing such a great job. The witch hunter hats were fabulous, especially seeing one on Graham was pretty funny.
I very much love Doctor Who's usage of goofy hats. Yeah. I like any instance where they can work that in.
Yeah.
And I very much appreciate it that they understand that.
Yeah, it's been a part of the show from the very beginning too, by the way. It's just goofy hats. It's all part of it. I loved the Ezekiel / Tarantino quote at the end. that was beautifully done, and it was very funny, and it well played by writer Joy Wilkinson. I thought she did a fantastic job on this episode.
What did you think of the one moment where I believe it was Alan Cummings as King James, who questions her and then asks her about her name and what she fears?
Yeah.
I really like that, and it's also something that we've kind of seen.
I'm glad you brought that up, because that was actually one of my favorite scenes. He mentioned something to her. What you're referring to is, like, are you hiding behind the name Doctor? And her monologue during that scene when she was speaking to Kim James, that was pretty good. That was one of the best she's done this season, I think.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
But I feel like if we were going to get a payoff episode, which we very well might, it may even be the New Year's Eve episode, who knows, I feel like it's going to have something to do with that. And I really like how they're sort of baking it in, because you know, the fun part, and this is sad because as soon as we get the special, if it happens in the special, we don't have another long weekend or a few days to binge through all the past episodes of that season,
right?
The way that we normally would. But that said, I'm not going to be that upset, because this is just shaping up to be a phenomenal season.
Oh, yes, indeed. It's doing very well, although I will add, Tom, it is dividing fans a bit here in the States. I've noticed that a lot of people are pretty critical.
What do they know?
Well, they're pretty critical of Chibnall's run. But you know what? Stephen Moffat got the same criticism during his first season, and you know, frankly, so did Russell T. Davies. And you know, it takes a while for them to slip into place and work out, you know, how everything is going to move into the future and keep moving things along. And I'm sure people will become Chibnall lovers by the end of the season. I don't know
why after that first episode they weren't sold. Certainly after the second.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I mean,
I don't get it.
Yeah, we haven't had a low rating this season at all. I mean, the lowest was 6 out of 10.
Yeah.
And yours is 5 out of 5 for this too, right?
Oh, yeah.
So, it's 10 out of 10, absolutely.
It's one of those episodes where maybe 10 minutes in. Now, granted, there are a few pacing issues at the beginning and towards the end, but I quickly could brush those aside, because I was, as the whole time I'm watching it, I'm like, this is a 5-star episode.
Yeah. I did notice that some people were a bit disappointed that they felt that the alien plot that came up at the end of the episode to them felt like a bit of a left turn. It just, like, was it, well, I thought we were about to finish. And I'm not sure why they reacted that way, because all the clues were there running right up to that point where Becca reveals that she's been taken over by a mud alien. So yeah. I thought it was very well done.
Yeah, I mean, I really just had no complaints at all with this episode. I thought I really love how they are treating this as like a love letter to the classic Who, in a way that, like, does not constantly need to stop and name check past instances and doctors. You know, they kind of got all that out of their system in that last episode.
Right.
You know, it could have been why too. It's because they knew they couldn't do what they wanted with it. And so they were like, yeah, all right, we'll be a little bit more, or less cautious with, breaking out on our own and making sure that this doesn't feel like a regurgitation of what came before it. All the instances where they basically brand these women as evil for speaking up or talking, all of the instances where, they insinuate that it's Satan, which, I feel like it's a good time to talk about our picks for the
recommendations. I was about to go there, but, I was, I wanted to check on something here. King James the First. They highly implied that he was homosexual or bisexual, and it looks like just glancing at his wiki page, there are believers that he was at least homosexual or bisexual, and just the way he was kind of shining onto Ryan there. And Ryan,
because there was a moment before, and I was like, well, you know, I feel like if this was a different scenario with a different historical figure who wasn't hitting on Ryan, but asked him to come back to a kingdom with him, Ryan would have said yes.
Well, he could have, but, you know, he didn't really. I think Tosin was playing it as if Ryan was none the wiser when he first kind of shined onto him. He was like, oh, my Nubian prince, you know? And he slowly
the very end, and that was delicious.
Yeah.
What is the meaning of this?
Madam, I have come to your rescue.
King James. Your Majesty.
You may prostrate yourselves before me. God's chosen ruler and Satan's greatest foe come to vanquish the scourge of witchcraft across the land.
Forgive the mask. I have enemies everywhere and have to travel incognito. Also, I rather like the drama. What a peculiar ragbag of folks. And those garments, are you actors?
We're your witchfinders, sire, as we explained to Mr. Savage.
Witchfinder's assistant. So you must be the Witchfinder General.
Oh, no, she said she was.
A woman could never be the general.
Silly me. Must have got all confused. Mm. Mustn't I, boss?
Yeah, that's me, sire. Northwest Division, promoted from Essex.
And these are your underlings.
It's a very flat team structure. We all have our area of expertise.
Even the wee lassie?
Even me. Very handy undercover. Set a woman to catch a woman.
A cunning ruse, using your innate aptitude for nosiness and gossip. And what is your field of expertise, my Nubian prince?
Torture.
Me? Paperwork mostly, Your Majesty.
Paper? How fascinating. We should talk.
Yeah, and he slowly comprehended what was actually going on, and he's like, oh, okay. So that's interesting. Fascinating that a king responsible for rewriting the Bible and demonology text and firmly against Satan and sin commits
same-sex.
Right, you're right. It's always the same story throughout history, even today, you know.
You're the king. You got to say one thing and do the other.
Oh, yeah.
But at the very least, it is given me a brand new interest in checking out the history of King James.
Yeah. Well, also the witchcraft stuff as well is fascinating because it varies from country to country. It's more prevalent in Europe. But, I mean, I want to say, judging from my memory, it's everywhere from the 14th to the early 20th century, though, that's all the witch hunting was going on. Yes, even in the early 20th century, folks.
Craziness. So I want to hear – let me go first.
Because I like yours. You've already told me what it is. I'm not going to spoil it for the fans, but this is a perfect choice. Go ahead.
So I think that – you know, I can't say I'm really disappointed that the Doctor did not in any way, shape, or form mention that she has actually been to what could have been hell and met who could have been Satan, which we actually did get a chance to see. It was a David Tennant episode called The Satan Pit. And it is when I was watching this episode, I think I ultimately ended up liking it, but it felt so, like, campy.
Yeah.
Like, kind of throughout that, like I've rewatched it and I love it. I'm in love with this episode. But when I was watching it, I was like, oh, really? You guys are going to go visit Satan? Despite the fact that it actually had a really cool CGI from what I can recall.
Oh, yeah, it still does. It stands up to this day. And there's actually a companion piece to that that two-parter episode in Torchwood. I don't even remember there was that time where that giant demon appeared in Torchwood. It was just the son of the beast. Oh,
I totally forgot about that. So, we'll tack that episode on, too.
And just on the topic of the devil, I want to bring up something that's actually related to some news. If things went the way that Tom Baker planned back in the 1970s, there may have been a Doctor Who episode or a movie called Doctor Who Meets Scratchman that he wrote. And the character of Scratchman is literally the devil in the episode. And the big news that came out this week was that it was announced that Tom Baker himself, the Fourth Doctor, is going to publish a novelization adaptation or a novel adaptation of Scratchman. So finally, after all these years, the fans that were begging to see something like this made, it's coming your way.
I'm psyched. I'm really psyched about this.
Yeah.
Also, in other news, we don't usually hit the news like we used to in the show, but I feel like that's mostly because Greg and I have toned down looking at it because it was starting to take away from our enjoyment of the episodes.
Right.
But when a piece of news bubbles to the surface on its own, and I can't deny that it's there, I feel like we can mention it on the show. And so in this case, if you happen to normally watch your episodes for Doctor Who by purchasing or renting them on Amazon, if you had caught it in time, were in for a treat because they had released this Witchfinders episode. I believe it was 2, maybe 3 days early.
Oh, yes.
For a small period of time, and there were jokes online of people saying, "This is Amazon getting them back for that,
yes.
For that last episode." I don't really get because I actually didn't think it held Amazon in a horrible light. It could have,
yeah,
but it really didn't. It was sort of just similar stuff.
Right? Like that. Yeah. Well, they sell their shit, don't they? You know, they're not going to ruin a relationship with BBC licensing and merchandising
and
you know, it's the wholesalers.
Definitely somebody, somebody had a bad day.
Yeah, yeah. That or somebody deliberately did it, and now they're out of a job. So, you know, I'm sure that's probably what it is.
How'd you get let go from Amazon?
Yeah,
Dr. Hugh Early. Rave, so doing all right. Work.
My recommendation this week is from classic Doctor Who, a John Pertwee episode, The Third Doctor, called The Demons.
Beltane is come, tread softly, for lo, the prince himself is nigh.
Devil's End. The very name sends a shiver up the spine. There is something strange about Devil's End.
I conjure thee and charge thee, Azal. Arise, arise at my command. Azal, Azal, Azal!
You saw the devil?
Yes. Satan, Lucifer, the prince of darkness, Beelzebub, the horned beast. Call him what you like, he was there.
Though something was to happen, and nobody knew the explanation. Well, nobody in the world, in the universe. Well, that would be magic, wouldn't it?
My theory's right, we're all in mortal danger.
Everyone in the village?
Everyone in the whole world. Domination by the master or total annihilation.
Well, this demon could destroy the world.
Almighty Azal, be present here at my command and truly do my will. As my will so mote it be.
Stop! Don't pull that stone! Don't!
Stop with the wings there. 5 rounds rapid.
Kill him!
Throughout eternity, when you should have listened to my words.
Obey me!
Oh, no!
Now, the demons is actually spelt with D-A-E-M-O-N-S. And that A-E is actually joined together. It's a graph meme. Let's see. It was representing a Latin diphthong, A-E, and it was put together in one figure, as in the word archaeology. Right in the middle of the word is the A-E. We don't have that joined together in modern text, but years back, that's what they did. And for some reason, they went with that with the title. This is one of John Pertwee's confrontations with the Master. And yes, there are some satanic overtones to this episode. It's pretty good. It's out on DVD and Blu-ray. I'm pretty sure you can find it streaming somewhere. You'll probably enjoy it. It's got the old unit crew. Nicholas Courtney is the Brigadier and John Levine is Sergeant Benton. And of course, the companion is Joe Grant, played by Katie Manning. So definitely check that out. If you're trying to catch up on classic Doctor Who, add that one to your list and check it out.
You know, on that subject, and I'd like to just kind of circle back around again. I feel like not only we're going to get – it feels like this team is jellifying. The cast is jellifying, where there's – it feels like there's it's becoming less of a chore to make sure everybody has – you know, equal lines and equal, you know, importance to each portion of a story.
Right.
And more just tell the story, everybody will fill in the blanks, which is good. And it also means that even though it seems that we will probably get some subtractions to next year's cast, it does feel like they can kind of dispense with a lot of the character building and really tell some good stories.
Unless they're teasing us with that New Year's episode photo that made the rounds, I think, today.
I didn't look at it. I just saw that the Doctor has a new scarf, and that's all. I'm not going to look at it until we watch the episode.
Well, I mean, it's out and about now, and that is that, you know, all of the companions are there. So I had a little mini theory in the back of my mind that one of them would die at the end of this season. But you know what? We've had some deals in the recent years where, at least in movies, where some of the scenes that you see in the trailers are either very different or they don't even end up in the movie. They could be pulling our legs here. It could be a trick, but we'll see.
Yeah. But like on the classic thing, I'm going to make another comment. I've been rewatching, the Sylvester McCoy episodes, and I was kind of shocked to see tonally how similar that they are to this season. It's if you watch the show, you may not pick up on it immediately because this probably no one could tell that there's maybe a difference with the budgets and how much they actually could spend to produce an episode back then versus now. But they seem very willing, and Greg, you've said this many times, very willing to speak up when it comes to political topics. They seem willing to be silly but still move the story together. And a lot of the Doctor's mannerisms, and I'm starting to wonder who Jodie Whittaker's Doctor is, because we know – actually, I only think that I know who David Tennant's Doctor is, which is his new father-in-law, or his father-in-law.
Right.
which was his Doctor before then. It's on record. But if her Doctor is Sylvester McCoy, that would make me very happy. Nobody's favorite Doctor is
Sylvester McCoy.
And it's not necessarily your favorite Doctor, it's whoever the Doctor was when you first were introduced to the show.
Yeah, that's
usually what it is.
I agree.
Not always. I mean, there's no real rules.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, that's all I got, except for the next time trailer. The episode's called It Takes You Away. Looks like another creepy episode.
Again, I'm so into this episode too.
Yeah, set in Norway by the looks of it, but that's really the only details we got from the trailer. So, looking forward to this one. I'm kind of getting a bit of a creepy fairy tale vibe from the scenery, but
those special effects, though.
Yeah, they look great.
And everything else we've seen in this, usually they, you know, they have a tendency in TV shows to pack the teaser trailers or the promos with all the best stuff or all the flashiest stuff.
Yeah.
And Doctor Who is like really, it's really just been a taste.
Yeah, and they've been pulling back a lot this season too, which I think is a good thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I think that's all we got, mate. We might as well go ahead and close out and say cheerio to everyone out there. And don't forget, if you want to leave us a comment over at geeksofdoom.com, please go ahead. We'd love to read it on air.
Yeah, let us know which Christmas episodes that we have not yet reviewed that you'd like us to review.
Yeah, or maybe, we're still trying to figure out this special Christmas thing that we're going to do. So maybe you guys have got some ideas. We'd love to hear from you. So go ahead and make a comment, and we'll check it out. And that's all we got time for. This has been the TARDIS Blend right here at geeksofdoom.com. I'm Greg Davies.
I'm Tom Cherdar.
And we'll see you next week, everyone. See ya.
Thanks, guys.